The title of today's message is The Rhythms of Grace. The Rhythms of Grace. I mentioned earlier that it's been an amazing summer with the pavilion dedication and then serving the military in July and then the pancake tent in August. And here we are at the end of August, and here's what I've observed over time. When you get to the end of summer, you're usually a bit tired out. I mean, it's a high output time. And I said earlier, it's been an amazing summer for me personally. I thought the tent experience, even though it was demanding, it was a huge payoff of a teamwork effort. We talked about that last week. But there are rhythms in life. And there's rhythms where you really go for it. And then there's rhythms where you have to, times when you have to pull back. You see, we have daily rhythms when we get up in the morning. We have a routine. We brush our teeth. We eat. We have coffee. And then we may have time with in our devotional life. And we have rhythms every day, and we have rhythms throughout the week. Now, here's what I've found. When the rhythm is going well, I just feel good at the end of the day or the end of the week. When I get thrown out of my rhythm, when I have a high output time, and I feel a little bit off-centered, I don't feel good about myself. And so rhythms can work for us, and they can work against us. And so in the book of Matthew, Jesus gives us some insights about rhythms. And so here's a question for church family. During this past week, how many of you felt rushed at some time? Okay, about three quarters of the people are real honest. Okay, that's good. I think we all feel rushed at times in life. And so when we feel rushed, we don't feel good about life, but that's sometimes how life is. In these three verses, Jesus gives us insights of how to deal with the sense of feeling rushed. And so let's read together Matthew 11, 28 to 30 in your notes. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me. Work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Here's what Jesus says. He will help us recover our lives. Do you ever feel like you're in a place where you've just laid it all out, you're fully expended, and you're empty and depleted? He says there's a formula, steps to take to recover your life. And he says he'll give us real rest. Now, in your notes, the word rhythm, it means a strong, regular, repeated pattern of movement or sound. So we have these rhythms in life, and they can work for us or against us, so we have to be mindful of the pattern, whether it's good or bad for us. I ran across a couple of quotes from Elisa Turkhurst, and here's the first one, it's in your notes. Where there is lack of rest, there's abundance of stress. Isn't that true? Everybody here gets that. If you don't have a rhythm of rest, sleeping at night, let me tell you, you feel stress more acutely. Quote number two. We have to slow the rhythm of rush in our lives so the best of who we are can emerge. You may be here today and this week, this month, you have been experiencing the rhythm of rush. It's just, It's how life happens at times. There's a hurriedness about everything. And you're here today and you said, should I really come to church? I'd love to sleep in. The rhythm of rush must be dealt with. You know why? Jesus said, I'll give you real rest. I'll help you recover your life. And so here's what I want to do in the message this morning. I want to share with you three thoughts of how to break the rhythm of rush in your life. Chances are everybody here felt pressed or rushed this past week to do something. We overload our schedules, we have too many demands, and we just feel like we're on a treadmill. And we need to break the rhythm of rush. So point number one in your notes. The first thing we need to do to break the rhythm of rush is this. We spend time with the rest giver, which is Jesus himself. In our text, here's what he says. We read it earlier. Let me read it for you. Verse 28. Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion? Jesus says, come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. Circle those three words, recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. So you're here this morning, and my hunch is you are in experiencing the rhythm of rush. The first step to break it is this. You and I must spend time with the rest giver. What does that mean? That means that during our day, for me, the morning is best. I take time and I just find presence and go to the presence of God himself, and I get still and I get quiet. And it's in that place we renew and recover our life. Remember the story of Moses? We talked about him a couple weeks back. You know what God told him to do? He says, Moses, I want you to come up on the mountain. So what did Moses do? He went up on Mount Sinai. He went up the mountain. You know what happened next? God came down. And all of a sudden, there's this meeting of the two individuals, God and Moses. You know, God told Moses, come up by yourself. Nobody else with you. Nobody else. You need to have one-on-one time with the rest giver. This is the first step. If you and I don't do this, let me tell you, we will continue the rhythm of rush for the rest of our life. The only way we break it is when we take that time, we go up the mountain by ourselves, God comes down, and we begin to commune, and we have this sense of connection with him. So read with me Isaiah 40, 31 in your notes. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So Isaiah says this. If you want to be renewed, you need to wait. You need to get still. You need to get quiet in God's presence. You spend time with the rest giver. And Jesus said, if you do that, if you get away with him, he'll show us how to do it. He'll help us find that inner sense of peace that the rhythm of rush steals from us. So point number one is this. Make it a priority in your life throughout the day or in the morning or whenever it works for you. Spend time with the rest giver by yourself in his presence. And he says, hey, the first step, he will meet us there and he'll help us to recover whatever it is we've lost in terms of energy and strength. All right, number two. The second thing is this. We must learn the rhythms of grace. Learn the rhythms of grace. Read with me again, verse 29. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. So I want you to circle the word learn. Learn. You see, it's something we have to practice over and over again. It's not a one and done deal. It's something you learn as you go along. It's like a baby learning to walk. It takes some failed attempts. It's a struggle, but as one sticks with it, they learn to walk. We must learn this thing called the rhythms of grace. Now, here's why it's so important. You and I have an inner person. It's our cockpit. It's who we are, our personality. It's our command center. It's our inner soul. And this is where life needs to be freed up, where we need to find a sense of grace applied to every area so that we can feel good about life. Now, in the book of Romans, chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, let's read these verses together. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. Here's what Paul is saying. When we put our faith in Christ, it opens a doorway into this thing called grace. And this is the stream, it's the ocean, it's the river in which we draw from, and we must learn from that grace the rhythms of life. Now, in the book of Philippians, Paul talks about anxiousness and worry. So let's read together the verses in your back of your sermon listening guide. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So, Paul is saying this, when we put our faith in Christ, what's available to us is an ocean of grace. And part of this, he says, is this thing called peace. When we get worried and anxious, it is a thief of our peace. And so Paul says we need to pray through on it. And here's what peace will do. It'll guard your heart. You know, people can go through an amazing, difficult struggle in life if they have peace in their life. I mean, there's something about peace that transcends the lack of understanding. And if you have peace, you and I can endure a lot. But if peace is absent, we cannot learn the real rhythms of grace that gives us that peace. And so let me share with you three thoughts or three disruptors of peace in our life. These are the things that steal peace. God wants us to have peace, but we don't always have it. Letter A. Here's the first one. Unconfessed sin. In the book of Psalms, David, I believe he wrote this. Let's read it together. When I refused to confess my sins, my body wasted away, and I groaned all day long. The biggest thief of our peace on the inside of who we are is in the category of unconfessed sin. Because it's just hanging there. And David said he went for about a year in his issue with Bathsheba before he really got squared away with God. And he said, my body wasted away and I groaned all day long. Unconfessed sin will eat away at our peace. But here's the great promise. If we confess to God and we just surrender it to him, you know what happens? He'll take it. And he'll restore the peace in our hearts. And so, letter A, unconfessed sin is the biggest disruptor. Letter B. The second thing that disrupts our peace is when we hang on to offendedness. We hang on to offendedness. I came across this quote some time ago, and I thought it was so good. Let me read it to you. It's in your notes. It's inevitable that you will get offended in this life. It's a choice to stay offended. Now, isn't it true that it's just a reality of life that we're going to get offended? Did anybody get offended this last week by somebody? Okay, want a couple of hands? Yeah. I mean, it's inevitable. Go to a family reunion, you know? Go to the office. Go to a pancake tent. Go somewhere. You know, I have probably offended some of you, and I don't even know it. You don't have to raise your hands. But it's a fact of life. We're all going to get offended, whether it's intentional or not. But here's the key insight. It's going to happen, but it's a choice if you stay offended. And if we stay offended, it's a thief of our peace, and the rhythm of grace will not be happening. Jesus said, when you stand praying, if you hold anything against someone, forgive him. Now, I want to take this concept of forgiveness and tease it out, all right? Walk with me on this. We generally think of offendedness as maybe from another person. In other words, somebody said something to me or did something to me, and it really rubbed me the wrong way. And I'm offended. So I have to deal with that, with what was said to me, or it'll just get stuck inside me. Follow that? So it's with another person. There's another angle to this, and here it is. If you and I do not get an answer to the prayer that we wished it would have turned out a certain way, we can get offended at God. Do you realize there's people in life that are mad at God? He's God. He knows best. We don't understand life. He does. But they're mad at God. And they're offended at him. And you know what? It's a thief of their peace. So it can go horizontal to another person. If I don't deal with that, I'm offended what they did or said to me. I can be offended at God. I'm going to take this one other direction. Walk with me. You can be offended at yourself. You are mad at yourself. You know why? You made a mistake. Dumb decision. You did something. I regret it. And the person you're offended at may not be the other person. It may not be God. It's yourself. And it's a thief of peace in your heart. Now, through the years, for whatever reason, being offended at God, I don't know, that hasn't been a real issue for me. I've had people offend me, and I've had to deal with stuff from family and friends, just like you have. But my biggest challenge is being offended with myself. And here's what I've learned. Each of us have a basement in our soul. It's the bottom floor. And when I get offended with myself, it's kind of hard to face, don't want to deal with it. I open the basement door, and I send it down, and I shut the door. And I just try to keep motoring through life. And then I'll watch something on TV, or I'll be in a conversation, and all of a sudden, it triggers what's in the basement. And what's in the basement is offendedness towards myself. Or for others, it could be towards someone else. And Jesus said this, if you stand praying, forgive that person, forgive God, forgive yourself to get freed up on the inside. You may be here today, and maybe you've got offendedness towards somebody else. Maybe you're offended toward God. Maybe you're offended or mad at yourself. There's a remedy. It's called the rhythms of grace, where you have to get in touch with that and say, okay, I need to forgive Larry for what Larry did. It's hard stuff, isn't it? And so each of us have to deal with hanging on to offendedness will sink the boat. It will take us down. It will rob your peace. It will destroy a person if they're really holding a grudge and they haven't dealt with it. Okay. Letter C. Third thing that disrupts peace is this, is when we hold on to a disappointment. We hold on to a disappointment. Everybody here has been disappointed at some time in your life. You may be sitting here and you're kind of like red hot raw with some disappointment in your life. I mean, we all have them. It's just how life is. And unless we somehow deal with the sense of disappointment, it can reach inside of us and stifle peace. And the sense of disappointment is more overpowering than the peace I want to enjoy. So in Isaiah 43, let's read these verses together. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? There are things in each of our pasts that are disappointments. And the writer here says we need to deal with them and learn to forget them and let them go. Because if we don't, it will capture our focus so much and derail our futures. It's kind of like the rearview mirror or the front windshield. If we look through the front windshield of life, we say we look at what's ahead. But listen, for some people, the fixation is on the rearview mirror. It's only a small mirror. But if you and I get stuck on that and what we see in it and we focus on it, and listen, we rehearse it, we go over it, we get with our friends and we talk about it over and over and over again, we can't let it go. Let me tell you, anybody who drives a vehicle and they're looking at the rearview mirror 90% of the time, what's the end result? Going to be a good crash. That's exactly what happens. Jesus knew that in order to recover our lives, in order to get the real rest, we need to deal with any unconfessed sin. Just take it, Lord. Wash me, cleanse me. Offendedness. And I got to say this again. If you've been offended, it's just a part of life. It's a choice if you want to stay offended. That's on you. Because there's grace to free you up. And the last one is disappointments. Everybody's got them. But if we need to deal with them in such a way that we release it through grace, the disappointment, and let God change us, we need to forget it and do not dwell on the past. So those are the big disruptors of peace that the rhythms of grace wants to somehow overcome. So number one, spend time with the rest giver. Number two, learn the rhythms of grace, of how to deal with life. And finally, number three, practice receiving grace from God, apply it to your own life, and extend it to others. If there's one statement you want to circle and take home today from the message, this is it. You got to receive it first. You know where you get it? Spending time with the rest giver. You receive it into your life. That's who he is. It's what he wants to be to us. He pours out this grace from his ocean of mercy and love. Listen, then you apply it to your own life, to what's in your basement, to any offendedness from another person, to anything, any sin, things we've done wrong. We confess it and we just release it. And listen, then we extend grace to other people. This is a big one. I find that many times families and individuals, the reason things fall apart is because they're not grace extenders. In other words, an infraction happens, something goes wrong, there's a conflict of sorts, and people hang on to that rather than extending grace. Practice receiving it, apply it to my own life, extend it to others. Let's read the last verse there in your notes. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Okay, circle these words, freely and lightly. Here's what God wants for each person here today, everybody listening online. He wants you to live freely and lightly on the inside. Oh, we can have problems and issues, but peace, the rhythms of grace produce peace that guards our heart. It anchors us. We feel good about life even though things are crazy in the world. And he says, I want you to live freely and lightly on the inside. It's an inside job. So we've come through the summer, and here it is, the last Sunday in August. We're all tired, and the pancake tent's a huge push. And thanks again, church family. It was a great week, great 12 days. But we're tired, and we need to take notice of the rhythms. You know, we need a few weeks or some time of just recouping and recovering. But I got to tell you, the secret is breaking the rhythm of rush. How do you do that? Spend time with the rest giver. Be a Moses. Go up the mountain. Let God come down. Quiet yourself. Renew your strength. Just let him refuel you. And then go for the rhythms of grace of saying, hey, peace is, I want to protect it. That's my anchor. And I look at anything in my life I need to confess. Am I hanging on to offendedness even towards myself? Am I hanging on to a disappointment? I gotta work through that through grace. And I just practice receiving it, applying it, and extending it to other people. Here's my final quote. It's real simple. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Listen, when we get in a place inside ourselves where we're at rest and we're at peace, it's unforced. That's a blessed place to live. Where we just, Christ, you're here, you've given me peace, I'm living freely and lightly on the inside because I've built guardrails into my life, this thing of peace. I want to be a gardener to my own heart and pull out or pluck up the stuff that steals and robs my peace. And the way we get to that point is we practice the rhythm of grace of receiving it, applying it to ourselves, and extending it to others. End result, we'll feel good about life. We can enjoy today because of the peace through Christ's presence that's in us. Let's bow for prayer. So I want you to take just a few moments and open your heart to God. First question, do you need to spend more time with the rest giver? Just let God speak to you about that. Make a decision that maybe tomorrow you'll say, wait a minute, I'm gonna intentionally do that. Number two, is there anything that is disrupting your peace? Any unconfessed sin? You just need to name it. God says he'll forgive you. He'll release you from it. You just have to confess it. Do that right now. How about any offendedness? Something somebody did to you? Or maybe it's something you did to yourself. And today, God is asking you to release it from yourself. Only you can do that. Say, wait a minute. Let me get rid of this. Let me release it. Take it out of the basement. Open the door. Say, God, help me to forgive myself. How about a huge disappointment? We all have them. Let grace define that disappointment. Look through the front windshield, not the rearview mirror, and stop rehearsing it and going over it. It's capturing your attention. And let the rhythm of grace wash it. And lastly, right now where you're seated, I want you to open your heart. You can put your hands up if you want, out in front, palms up. I want you to receive grace right now. Say, Lord, here it is. I want to receive it. I want you to apply it to your own heart. What issues have you got going inside you that you need to apply grace to? Go to work on it. Spend time with the rest giver. Let him take it apart, dismantle it, neutralize it. How? Through grace. Forgiveness toward others, toward yourself. Disappointments, just let him do that. And also then apply it to other people. I don't want to leave here with heads bowed and eyes closed. You may be in a situation right now where there's an amazing opportunity for you to extend grace to somebody else. And they may not even deserve it, but it's a sticking point in your relationship with them. Extend grace. Be the bigger person. Let his power, his love flow through you. And the end result, you'll feel free on the inside and lighter because of it. Father, we celebrate an amazing summer of immeasurably more. I mean, you've just blessed us as a church family and even individually in ways that we couldn't imagine or think of. And we thank you for that. But I pray for every person here that needs to learn a new freshness about the rhythms of grace so that they can live freer and lighter on the inside. So in this very moment, I pray you'll descend upon each heart and you'll touch and transform any area that needs to be confessed of sin, any area that's offended toward others or self, or any disappointment that has captured our focus and attention. Father, you said you would help us recover our lives and we would find real rest as we come to you. And so we just claim that right now in this very moment for each person here in this sanctuary and those listening online. Give us the power of peace and real rest in our lives. And for this, we'll give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.